Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Is this the only hearing of the day, or is there a bunch?
You're my only hearing today.
Cool.
Yep. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. That just took a couple efforts. My Zoom screen has been blank for 5 minutes, so I tried again, and here I am. The mystery.
Hi, guys. Hey, Darcy, I got an email from Joe Turner. Joe thinks this is his hearing.
What?
Well, he sent an email because I saw that email chain going yesterday, whose hearing it is, and yada, yada. Yes, Darcy did get back to me. She said this is my hearing because there is an extra Thursday in July. I think he's got his months off, so hopefully he's figured it out since then.
But, yeah, he was talking about July, not today.
Okay. So it's me that's needing to figure it out. Okay, good. All right. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Clay. That would have been interesting. I've never had dueling hearings officers. Huh?
Oh, yeah, you don't want to see it. It is not pretty. So.
Okay, yeah. Well.
Okay, and I'm unaware of anybody else who's going to be attending, just, you know, so you know. I'm not waiting for anybody.
The applicants might log on there, and there's two of them. It'd be Andrew and Megan, but I'm not sure if they will, but that's about everybody that would be coming from the applicant side.
Okay. Well, let's see. I got somebody asking to be here. Hey, Darcy, could you do me a favor? Could you send not a panelist link, but just a regular link to Johnny Gish in engineering? I don't have the regular link that you would send. And I think it'd be convenient to have him here.
You want him just as a panelist?
Sure, yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
I have a Megan Weisman in the audience. Is that our applicant?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to move her over as a panelist.
Excellent news, Megan. You've been upgraded.
She's on mute.
Okay. I should probably.
Thank you for upgrading me. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, guys.
Are we expecting any other participants, or?
I think Andrew is coming. I'll just check in on him real quick.
Yeah, and I've got one more coming now with development engineering staff is hopefully going to pop on here any minute.
Yeah, Johnny Gish is here as an attendee.
Okay.
Why don't you just bump him up now? Because I think he's, I still want to talk. Oh, and there's Michelle. Good.
Who is Michelle?
Is this Michelle with the applicant team? Oh, okay.
Not sure why my picture isn't coming through, but I'm here.
Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
And we were muted. Michelle isn't part of the applicant team.
Okay.
I'll try to get my video to work here.
Is Michelle a participant or a member of the initiative? Member of the public.
I don't know if anybody knows.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
I think we're going to go member of public who hopefully will testify when the public testimony is open.
Okay.
Oh, it's Michelle Salo, our permit specialist.
Oh.
She just wants to listen in.
Hi, right. Michelle.
Good morning.
I'm not having success reaching Andrew, who's one of the applicants. So we might just have to, I'll just get him up to speed later.
There he is.
Johnny, welcome.
Looks to me like we have all of the participants. Is the county ready to proceed as well?
Perfect. Ready when you are.
All right, let's begin the hearing this morning. Today is June 3rd, 2021. This is the matter of application Z0147-21-C, also known as Mountain Grove RV Park, a proposal for a conditional use permit to operate an RV park. The county has Mr. Clay Glasgow and Mr. Johnny Gish also in attendance. The applicant is represented by Mr. Chris Goodell and a couple of assistants that I don't have names for yet. Ms. Megan Wiseman is also present, the applicant. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. The hearing will begin with the county providing an explanation for participation via Zoom, and then I'll provide some additional guidance on the procedure. Please proceed.
Hey, good morning. I'm Clay with Planning, Clay Glasgow, and I have this Zoom script that I am to read verbatim, so just bear with me, please. It's required listening. All right, so Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator, S. Darcy. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when that is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature, or just raise your hand. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin so we can get a copy of the decision to you and that you're of record. Once you have provided your testimony, your microphone will be muted again and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to me, Clay Glasgow, and I'll provide some location information at the end of today's meeting, or just mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, 97045. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, please provide your email or standard mailing address by either emailing me or to that address. And again, I'm going to put this information up on a slide in a few minutes here anyway, as far as location. And that concludes the required Zoom script.
All right, thank you. Again, my name is Carl Cox, and if you need to ask me a question, please, as indicated, raise your hand, use the raise hand feature, et cetera, and I'd be happy to assist you with that. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct all your testimony to a relevant approval criteria. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. I want to make a couple of additional statements for the record. First, I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter. I received only a packet of information from the county, including its staff report and the exhibits that were made public. I've not received any kind of contact outside of this hearing to try to persuade me concerning a fact or a matter at issue at during this hearing today. I've considered issues of bias or conflict of interest in this matter and have concluded that I don't have any bias or conflict of interest in this proceeding. I will ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting the staff report or other information that the county wants presented here and wants me to consider in making a decision. I'll give the applicant a similar opportunity to present testimony or other evidence that the applicant wants me to consider, and then I'll may provide an opportunity for rebuttal, but I will provide an opportunity for any members of the general public who appear in this hearing. All right, let's go ahead and proceed.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Cox. Again, I'm Clay Glasgow, planning staff. I've got a nifty little PowerPoint I'm going to blow through very quickly, and this PowerPoint is an abbreviation of a staff report that's 20-25 pages long that goes into further detail. I don't see any reason to go to read the staff report to you. You've all had a chance to look at it. But after I go through this very quick abbreviation, if there are any questions when it comes time to testify, please ask. And when I'm done with this PowerPoint, I'm also going to ask Johnny Gish if he has any. Johnny Gish is with Development Engineering, and he's here. I'm going to ask him once I'm done if he has anything to add. So let me just blow through this really quick. First question, can everybody see this PowerPoint slide I just popped up there?
Yes.
Take that as a yes. Okay, so this is file Z01-47-21. Today is June 3rd. We all know that the proposal here is for a 21-space RV park on property located at the intersection of Vincent Road with Highway 26, south side, in the rural community of Welch's, Oregon. It's about an acre and a half. As far as the big hitters here. Located, as mentioned, about an acre and a half in size. The property itself is relatively uninteresting from a natural standpoint. It's fairly level. There's no map natural features. It had been fully treed. I don't know if that's still the case. I'll let the applicant talk about that. Underlying zone designation is HR, Hoodland Residential. Looks like I'm missing a T in residential there. The area in which Posey's is located is generally rural residential in nature. There's also recreation residential uses evident and support uses to both of those along the Highway 26 corridor leading into Mount Hood. And in fact, on a map, here's kind of what it looks like. The shaded area is the community of Welch's within the boundary. Here's our subject property up here, Highway 26 traversing across the screen left to right. I think we all know where this is. It's the golf course. It was originally a Rippling River, and then it was at the inn at the mountain. I think it's called Three Nines the last time I was out there. But it's in fairly close proximity to the subject property, which if I remove the rural community shading, here's our property here. Here's the golf course. Here it is again. And here's Vincent Road, which is not actually physically there. It's a right-of-way. Here's Highway 26. Obviously, the property has frontage on both those roads. Now, this site plan, everybody's going to have to kind of lean to the right a little bit here because north is to the right. I couldn't fit it in this slide, but you see the access coming in off what will be the improved portion of the Vincent Road right-of-way out onto Highway 26. This has been discussed at length with both our own development engineering staff and ODOT regarding what kind of an ingress and egress that's going to be, and I'm going to let Johnny Yish talk about that in a few minutes here. This is a conditional use, and that being the case, Section 1203 of Clackamas County Zoning and Development Ordinance is the overriding section, sort of the umbrella that covers the rest of the code sections. It gets you everywhere else. It gets you to the underlying zone, which in this case is Hoodland Residential, detailed in Section 317. It also gets you any special use requirements, in this case, Section 813 for RV camping facilities, and also to a variety of development review standards in Section 1000. I've kind of listed the big hitters here. And again, in the staff report, I went over all these in detail. With regards to Section 1203 conditional use, there are six criteria to be considered. In order to approve this conditional use, all six criteria must be satisfied. If even one criterion is not satisfied, the conditional use request must be denied. So I'm going to go through these six very quickly. First criterion, the applicant must show, and the county must find that the proposed use is, in fact, potentially allowed in the underlying zone. In this case, it's HR zoning, Hoodland Residential, and on Table 317.1 of Section 317, that lists potentially allowable uses and how, and in this case, recreational vehicle camping facilities are listed as a potential conditional use, therefore satisfying this first criterion. It is provided for in the underlying zone. Second criterion kind of focuses on the site itself. Will this property, will this particular piece of ground support the use based on size, shape, other dimensional standards, natural features, its location relative to the rest of the world? Can this site support the proposed use? The applicant has provided information to indicate that this is the case. It's, you know, it's not particularly large. It's an acre and a half. The applicant has shown that it's big enough to support this particular RV park based on size, shape, and other such standards. Second criterion is also met. The third criterion, number C here, it needs to be found that the transportation network is adequate to support the proposed use. Just as far as, you know, can the existing roads deal with additional traffic that this use may attract, or can they be made adequate through conditions of approval? And also, the safety of the transportation system is required to be shown. That's, you know, typically the driveway location out into the county or state network. In this case, you've got access onto a county road, Vincent, which then immediately accesses Highway 26, and ODOT's been involved in this. They submitted comments at the pre-app stage. Did not submit comments directly to this file, however, but they indicated earlier in the process that they're okay with it as the driveway is designed. So that third criterion is met. Fourth criterion needs to be found that the proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of surrounding properties for the primary uses allowed in the zoning district in which the surrounding properties are located. In this case, that means that it needs to be shown that this proposal will not have deleterious impacts or such that it will, you know, preclude, prevent, impair, or whatever. Underlying uses allowed in the HR zone. The HR zone allows low-density residential uses and recreational residential uses and uses to support those uses. And in this case, this proposal is on a property that is right smack in the middle of the Mount Hood corridor, which is just full of a variety of low-density residential uses, recreational residential uses, and just flat-out recreational uses. And I just, you know, as an example, again, the golf course is just to the south and east here. But there's also a variety of other similar uses in the area, including a similar RV park adjacent to the east. This fourth criterion is also satisfied. Number E, the proposal satisfies the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan which apply to the proposed use. The applicant hit on some of these. I did as well briefly. Again, it's all in the staff report, but basically I was able to find that this proposal satisfies this criterion in that it meets comprehensive plan policies that relate to the proposal. The sixth criterion must show that the proposal complies with any applicable requirements of the zoning district, which in this case is Hoodland Residential HR, and any overlay zoning districts in which the property is located. There are no overlays. Any specific Section 800 requirements and Section 1000. In this case, 813 applies. That's special standards for RV parks. And it's, frankly, it's mostly dimensional standards, and they're met. And the Section 1000 requirements, and this is where the staff report really kind of details. It's sustainable site and building design. It's trash and recycling. It's parking. It's access. It's just a variety of very specific standards. And I went through that in detail in the staff report. And that is a mistake. I'm going to change that right now. Okay. Also, before I wander too far, I wanted to point out a couple of changes I want to make in the staff report. And hang on one second. Thank you for bearing with me. I got a lot of screens going here, a lot of windows open. All right. So in the staff report on page 1, I wanted to correct that under the proposal, which, you know, seems an important part of the staff report, I put the proposal is a recreational facility, camping facility. I tried a little too hard there. What I meant was a recreational vehicle camping facility, and that will be changed to reflect that, essentially a typo. Then, and it's much further down, and you just got to give me a minute here because I can't find my little arrow. On page 19, this is a more significant boo-boo. It's a cut-and-paste error, but it needs to be fixed. 19, hang on a minute. On page 19, under sub D, about a third of the way down, primary uses allowed in this district are listed in section 316 and include residential along with farm and forest practices. That is, in fact, incorrect. It should read, primary uses allowed in this district are listed in section 317 and include residential and recreational uses. That was just a cut and paste error, but I wanted to call that out because it's in the staff report. I also repaired a couple of minor typos, but otherwise that's fine. And with that, I think I'm done babbling, but I am here and available for questions because, like I say, the staff report goes into much grander detail on all these issues. And we have Johnny Gish here this morning. He's with our development engineering staff. He deals with transportation element generally, but also on sites such as parking and surface water management, although in this case Water Environment Services takes the lead on surface water management. And with that introduction, Johnny, you don't have to have anything to say, but do you have anything to add at this point?
No, not specifically, with the exception of this being a recreational facility. Engineering will not be involved with any on-site access or parking. This will be permitted through a park permit through the building department, and that's an ORS requirement. So we won't have any permitting requirements or inspections or anything for anything on site. Our involvement in this will strictly be for the access and frontage improvements along Vincent.
And these and that was all detailed through, well, initially at the pre-application meeting, but in subsequent discussion. Is it at a point to where development engineering is okay with it? as far as the access?
Well, yeah, as conditioned, yeah. There'll be an ODOT permit there's a pathway along there also, and then for the frontage improvements along Vincent, there'll be a development permit required for that.
Okay, and as you mentioned with regards to the on-sites there, it was included as a condition in the staff report, a proposed condition that the PRK permit be attained through the building department, like you say, and there's also state permitting requirements as it is an RV facility that we're not directly involved in, but okay, thanks. Mr. Cox, I think that's it for the staff report at this point, but we are here and available.
I'd like to provide an opportunity for the applicant to present evidence or testimony or statements that the applicant wants me to consider in this. And also, I'd like the applicant to address the just generally the issue of the conditions of approval, to make some affirmative statement that you've had an opportunity to review them. And if you have anything specific that you disagree with, this is your opportunity to make that statement.
Thank you, Mr. Herring's officer. We have a slideshow that we wanted to share. Darcy or Clay, or can you enable us to do that, please?
You're already set up.
Okay, so I don't know if everybody can see our screen. Oh, here it comes. Hold on. Okay, cool. Hopefully everybody can see that.
I'll use your raised thumb feature. I thought that was pretty good. I hadn't done that before.
Super. All right, thanks. My name's Chris Goodell, planner here with AKS Engineering. Our address is 12965 Southwest Herman Road, Suite 100, 12th in Oregon, 97062. We're working with the applicant, and we prepared the application materials that are in the record before you. Wanted to thank the hearings officer for his time here this morning and staff as well, and staff for their positive recommendation for the application. We really do appreciate it. With me is Marie Holliday. She's a planner here with AKS, and John Rogest, who's a licensed engineer here with AKS. They did most of the heavy lifting for the application, and Marie, I think Clay did a good job of explaining a lot of stuff. Marie's going to touch on a few other details here, just about the project itself that we thought would be decent background. Thank you.
And again, my name is Marie Holliday, and for the record, my address is 12965 Southwest Herman Road, Suite 100, Tualatin, Oregon, 97062. And up for your consideration this morning, again, is the Mountain Grove RV Park. And our project team is Bridgeview Asset Management, and AKS Engineering and Forestry is providing consulting services on the project. The site is located within the Mount Hood corridor and has frontage along US 26 and East Vincent Road. This is for a conditional use permit, again, for 21 RV camping spaces. And the criteria of approval, as Clay went through them, were all found to be met within Section 813 of the Clackamas County Zoning Development Ordinance. And this is, again, a Type 3 review process with a hearings officer decision. So here's the site shown in yellow here. It's, again, located in the Mount Hood Corridor. The site is forested and generally flat, as Clay mentioned, and, again, has frontage on US 26 and East Vincent Road. The site's just shy of a half an acre and is within the Hoodland Residential Zoning District, as well as surrounding properties that also contain various commercial activity, lodging, and commercial restaurants, places to eat and sit down. So this will be a good use within this area and provide additional lodging for Mount Hood community activities. Here's the preliminary site plan on the screen. And so as you can see, there's improvements and widening of the existing driveway access shown in purple there at the north end of the screen. Along the US 26 frontage, we do have a 10-foot pedestrian path accommodating ODOT requirements. We do provide 24-foot right-of-way dedication along East Vincent Road. There's 21 RV camping spaces planned, and that will include 25% open space and landscaping. You can see there on the south side of the site, there's an open space tract, and throughout the site, we're planning to keep as much vegetation as possible and include privacy landscaping as well. The stormwater facility is located in the northwest corner of the site. And then through the site improvements, we'll have a paved driveway and circulation area with access to all those sites. There's a full underground range of utilities and a trash enclosure that will be gated and covered. And that's located kind of central to the site near the access here. The individual RV camping spaces are about 1,500 square feet. They do range a bit bigger in some areas. The RV's vehicle space itself will be a 10 foot by 36 area, clear of brush and visibility to get into those spaces. And then additional 2-passenger vehicle spaces per camping area. The privacy landscaping is kind of shown in green throughout the site. Again, we're planning to retain as much vegetation as possible. And then utility connections will be provided to each space, which include potable water, sanitary sewer, and electricity. And then each space will have a sort of amenities such as a picnic table, grill, regular camping facilities. And then additional parking and directional signage will be provided as necessary. And at the commencement of the hearings officer stated to raise issues to be considered prior to rendering a decision, and we'd like the opportunity to discuss an engineering division condition, 1C, it looks like it's 4-2, and the applicant doesn't object to additional right-of-way to help the county build a road in the future. However, since no trips are generated past the site access, the applicant feels it is not appropriate to be required to improve a road which leads to a private property and a private driveway.
So let's pause for a moment and get to that. So on the engineering division conditions, but those are rolled into the staff report at page 13, it looks like, conditions for roads and connectivity. And you're on section C4, prior to development permit issuance, correct? Yes.
Correct. And the staff report also had an additional exhibit 6 with engineering findings. And so there's additional findings related to that condition on page 9.
Okay. So let's have a look at this. Conditions. And we are on page 14 and page 9.
Hey, Johnny, you're going to be okay with this, right?
Okay with talking about this?
Well, we're trying to nail down where.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got the staff report, and then you got the. Does the hearings officer have the reference to the exhibit?
I have. I'm looking at page 14 first. And this is where your staff report references this. I'm trying to see what the difference is.
The staff report lists the conditions. However, it doesn't necessarily provide findings around the condition. That's in the exhibit 6 attached to the staff report found on page 9.
Okay, so I'm going to turn to page.
Can I share my screen real quick with that?
Yeah, let's do that.
The ones we're all looking at the same time. I'm trying to get to Exhibit 6, and it won't open. Hang on. Here we go. Block. Windows open. All right. Transportation engineering conditions and findings. Share screen. Transportation engineering conditions. Okay, so these are this is Exhibit 6, which you got to from that previous reference. And where are we on this?
Page 9.
Jeez, Johnny. You did yourself on this one. Page 9. Can you tell me what page I'm on yet?
You
said. Okay, man.
You're making us dizzy, Clay.
All your little faces are right where my arrow thing is, and I don't know how to diminish it.
You can move the face screen. I think you can grab the margin of it and put it someplace else on your screen.
Okay, so I'm on page 9 now. Sorry about that. Does this bother anybody, or is this okay?
No, you're good, Clay.
Okay. So where on page 9 then am I?
They're kind of throughout. I'm just saying that these were the findings provided for that condition.
Okay. And what is the detail that you're wanting to get out of that condition again? Could you just remind me of that?
Sure. Are you asking us, Clay?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So I guess just looking at the totality, there's 8,000 square feet of, actually more than that, of right-of-way dedication along that road, understanding where that is coming from the property there. And then we got this 10-foot-wide ped path that's like 200 feet long on the frontage there. And we're building, half of the frontage improvements there for Vincent Road to the north there. The applicant, we talked with them, and they just didn't see why they should be building the rest of it. It just didn't make sense. There's one person using it, and this project won't use it, so it just didn't make sense. And we didn't see anything that explained it other than it's the standard, which we understand it's the standard. That makes we get that. Just didn't we maybe we missed it in the staff report, but we didn't see anything that kind of connected the dots. So. That's all. If there is something we missed, then okay. Obviously, the applicant wants the project to move forward and be approved. It's just that one. I mean, there's a laundry list of conditions, and the applicant's okay with 99% of them. Just these two that were highlighted there just didn't make sense to them. I know that's condition 4.1.C.4. Is that II? Is that 2.2? And then 4.1.C.4. B, I guess, if you can follow there. Highlighted there, and well, we have it up on our screen, but you don't anymore, so we can. That's all.
Let's go back to the applicant screen, please, and see those highlighted portions. I think that we're on a bunny trail here to look at the original. Let's go back. Okay, so the issue has to do with. Really, I'm looking for Mr. Gish and to look at this and understand what you're talking about.
So the existing right-of-way on Vincent is only 20 feet right now, in total without, any right-of-way dedication from the applicants. It's my understanding, and it was addressed in a pre-app that I was not involved with, other staff was involved with the pre-app, that the existing dedication right now, the right of dedication actually came from the property to the west. So the original dedication was 24 feet from the eastern side of Vincent. And that's what they're showing here, the applicant showing here to the north. What I wrote as a condition is 14, or let's see, I don't know, was not what was required. It was just 20 feet of pavement, which is labeled here. And then I thought it was 14 feet of right-of-way all along the entire frontage. Which would make it consistent with the other side when the other side develops. We actually have an application for the other side and the property to the south as well for further development, including, they have two different applications for the property to the south, a 24 and a 50 lot subdivision. So what I was requiring was 20 feet of pavement from Highway 26 to the south to their entrance. And then 11 foot, which would be, they're part of a half street improvement, from the entrance there all the way to their southern property, to the frontage boundary. That would be consistent with Clackamas County roadway standards. It's actually less from what the roadway standards requires. Roadway standards actually require 16 feet or standard, which was 22 feet. But with other further developments to the south and to the west, you know, they would be required to fulfill those requirements there. But
you're looking at them as a condition doing their 11 feet or half of the standard road improvement, basically from the center line towards their property. How far down? It's not clear to me.
From their entrance, so 20 feet of pavement from the entrance to 26 south to their, you know, to essentially what they call, or, you know, to the entrance right there for what they're showing right here.
Okay. Right.
And then south from there be a pavement taper, and then 11 feet from center line down.
Down to the, to where their property
correct. Along, along the remaining frontage.
Okay.
So 11 feet of pavement for the remaining frontage. And then, but this dedication that they have, they're showing here is 24 feet from center line, or excuse me, from the eastern portion of the existing right of way.
Right. So you're looking for 24 foot dedication, 11, but for them to pave 11 feet of it.
No. What I was requiring, and this is what the requirement was within the pre-app application, it was the pre-application that we had before that I wasn't involved with. Because the eastern side of the existing Vincent Road is being treated as center line for future east, Vincent Road. Does that make sense? Am I clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because supposedly Vincent Road was completely dedicated by the property to the west. That's my understanding. I haven't seen anything to prove that or anything, but that's what I was told. But what I was looking for was dedication from the Vincent Road exists right now at 20 feet from center, 20 feet width. So I was going to ask them to establish a center line and dedicate 14 feet from the existing center of Vincent Road all the way over.
Yeah, right.
So it would be 24 feet to the north and nothing to the south of their entrance. It would just be 11 feet all along their frontage.
That's the new one? That's not what it says, though, I guess, on page 14.
Well, it says applicants shall dedicate by document sufficient right-of-way to provide for a minimum of 24 feet from center line along East Vincent Road.
Right.
That's B3B.
Right.
So that's what it says right there, 24 feet from center line.
Okay. No, 14. You're saying 14 from the existing center line, or are you saying I'm?
Well, sufficient right-of-way to provide for 24 feet from center line. So okay. Whatever the – because I don't have anything that says exactly – Vincent Road is exactly 20 feet. So I could say that it was 14, you know, to dedicate 14 feet. But if it was, you know, 19 feet or 21 feet, then it would be, you know, shifted over. So is it,
we're okay with that. I mean, we're confident that it is 20 feet, and it did come out of the adjoiner. So we don't have a problem, or the applicant doesn't have a problem with what we have shown here is 24 feet of dedication. And I think the condition says for the whole way, I guess for the entire site frontage on Vincent Road. That's why those spaces are deeper there in case that was going to be required. We can do it and provide that. So it's still
yeah,
working.
And that was the.
But I don't think there's any
intention.
Debate then about that.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Then what about the change that you're proposing, a change in the language on the condition though?
On the condition on the screen shown.
Yeah, so not right-of-way dedication. We're simply right. Discussing the additional pavement beyond what's shown on this drawing here, widening and paving Vincent Road and then putting in a curb further south, where, you know, all the way from where we're showing the tie-in to Vincent, all the way to the southern end of the open space area. That's the contention, I guess.
So the condition here is either provide a 6-inch curb or a drainage swale. Okay, so it's not both, it's just one. You could do a drainage swale along Vincent Road and not provide a curb. That's actually the preferred method, because then you'd have, if you put a curb there, then you'd have to put a conveyance system in there, which I don't think anybody wants. We don't want to maintain it. You don't want to build it. But it is an option here. So the preferred method here would be the drainage swale, along Vincent Road on the east side of the pavement. The intention for the pavement to exist past your entrance here, like I said, is also to provide for future development to the south. Right now, we do have an application in for a large subdivision to the south that would also connect to Stage Stop. So this also would provide, tenants here, you know, our RV guests, to actually go to the south of Vincent and go out to Stage Stop and go out to Welch's Road rather than trying to access through Highway 26. Which ODOT really doesn't want to put any more traffic onto 26 through an uncontrolled intersection. They want everybody to go out to Welch's Road. So this would provide them, and, you know, also including with recreational facilities, you know, to the south along Welch's Road to provide better access down that way. So Vincent Road would be fully improved and then going out to the east a Stage Stop out to Welch's. So to say they wouldn't be using that road, they wouldn't be using it now, but when or if Vincent Road ever does fulfill, you know, be fully developed to ultimate, then they probably would be using Vincent Road to go out over to through Vincent Stage Stop and then over to Welch's Road. So that was the intent on, frontage improvements, half street frontage improvements along Vincent Road, along the entire frontage.
Well, then I have a question on that. Nobody else does. I understand the dedication. We need to get the dedication along the entire western property line there along Vincent, and we need to get it now. As far as paving beyond their driveway, there's zero benefit to this developer to pave beyond the driveway. So that condition is 100% benefiting the property to the south. That's not part of this application. So I guess
that, Clay, that's our point. What we thought talking with the applicant is this here struck a balance. It's almost half the frontage, and there's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done to connect to Highway 26 of his overhead utilities. It's a mess. It's going to be very expensive to do this project. It's not a big project, a huge moneymaker, and adding on another, $50,000 of paving and drainage and whatnot where the beneficiaries are mainly to the south, and at this time it's 100% to the south. We thought this struck a balance and along with the asphalt or the concrete pathway and everything that we had. It's, of course, it's up to the hearings officer. He's the deciding authority and the attorney here in the room. But we just thought this was fair, and beyond that was more. I mean, more than what this small project should accommodate. You're talking about a huge property there to the west. You mentioned a lot of single family homes, and then something to the south. And it seems like those guys ought to be brought into this if those ever do happen. So
you're asking to completely delete
precisely condition the two red highlighted conditions here. The applicant believes should be struck.
So with especially with B here, the 6-inch curb or a drainage swell, I mean that's going to be a requirement for Wes also, because you're creating more than 5,000 square feet
Right, but that's all going area to the
north. Pavement, so that's not, I mean,
to the north. So that we would have the swale along the north or whatever is required there where this drawing shows the improvements. We're simply talking about Vincent Road that where if you're not improving the southern portion of Vincent Road there, like we don't have shown, then we wouldn't have a drainage swale along there.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the power poles.
Yeah, the one is one
the power poles are on the west side of the road.
It's shown on the screen there, relocated utility pole and overhead wires in the northwest corner.
That's not where they are now. That's where they would go.
Okay. Because the pavement would actually be centered on the existing center line, not to the east of the center line of Vincent. So the pavement should be shifted over to the west.
No,
because when the property to the west does develop, they're not going to be required to do another 20 feet of pavement. We don't want 40 feet of pavement there. It would just be the 20 feet of pavement.
And we have it shown on the center line after the right-of-way is dedicated from this property, like we've talked about. That's
yeah, so I mean, so I see that, you know, yeah, relocated utility power poles. Yeah, because, I mean, I show I don't see a power pole out there on the corner when I'm looking on Street View, but that's necessarily not always accurate.
There is a power pole. It's up in this area right here where our new stormwater outfall is going to go, and it does need to be relocated.
I guess that's a sort of a detail. The point is that that's an incredibly – dealing with ODOT and getting permits from ODOT is something that nobody else would have to do that you're talking about these other projects, and this project will be saddled with that. It's an incredibly difficult process. It takes a long time. It's very expensive. Everything has to be done there. And so I just didn't want it to sound like this project was somehow getting out of something. They're doing it. The applicant here will be doing a lot of, I guess, work that will benefit others, including the property owners to the south and ultimately to the west.
And one other thing, if I could jump in here, Johnny, since you mentioned, and you're correct, that this 20 feet all came out of the westerly adjoiner here, that would put the center line at the our western property line here.
Show the center line. It's right there. And that's the center line.
That's we show the center line right. So basically, it's at the western property line of our project. So that essentially, if everything came out of here, that eastern portion of the right of way is the center line right now. So you're going to have, you know, 20 feet here. That's existing. We dedicate 24 feet here to bring it to almost a full street. Then if and when these guys develop, you'll ask 4 feet more for them. That leaves the center line right here, which is also right here.
Yeah, can you draw a red line down there showing the right-of-way dedication?
You know, I see that.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything saying that it came – entirely from them. I don't know if you guys are able to find that in the records or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we've done the boundary research and we haven't filed a record of survey for the property, but we're confident, our survey group is confident that's where it came from. And that's, so the western boundary of the property is going to be this. Marie's trying to draw on the screen and it's not working at all. Sorry. We're confident that's where that's going to work out. There's the center line.
Yeah.
Not very straight, but that's
fine. Are you, John, you're drawing it. You're an engineer.
It didn't work for either of us, so that.
I think we've kind of beat it to death. I think we've kind of said what we wanted to say, and I don't know what else there is to say.
Well, can I add one more thing just to extend this longer? we can certainly get the dedication, and that is both to serve this development and looking ahead to future developments, both west and south of this property. I'm not so certain we can justify paving south of the proposed driveway here. I just don't understand it. There's no benefit to this applicant at all.
And the applicant is okay with dedicating the right of way, Clay. So that's something we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean it is up to the hearings officer, but we're quickly getting into Nolan, Dolan, Smith and Jones issues here.
If we can get some resolution here, I'd like to get some consensus between the applicant and the county. What I hear is that the county doesn't object to deleting section 41C4A2 here, the Roman numeral 2, the 11 feet of pavement with graveled shoulders east of the center line along the remaining frontage, which to me means from the below that 20 feet of pavement, correct?
I'm gonna punt on that and ask Johnny. Johnny, what do you
think? I am too.
Well, I mean, I put the requirement in there because, you know, or that condition, because it's consistent with the Clackamas County Roadway Standards. It's consistent with ZDO 1007. And, you know, it may not benefit the applicant now, but, you know, when Vincent is fully developed, it will benefit them because they'll be, you know, accessing down through Vincent through Stage Stop. So, I mean, that's why I put it there. I mean, you know, it's going to get developed eventually. All of that is logged already. It's been surveyed. I actually have a meeting with the applicant next week, with other county staff to review their new site plan, to get access through Vincent, through Arowana and through Stage Stop, because they're actually proposing a access from Vincent over to Arowana also. So, I mean, all these roads are going to be, you know, connecting. So that's why, I mean, yes, it is future. Connectivity and it's, you know, looking out into the future. But I mean, that's how development gets built, is through the future.
Mm-hmm. And then, subsection B here has to do, it is a choice, but it's actually dependent upon the answer to, you know, that, pavement.
Correct. But it also involves, the pavement to the north, that the applicant is not contesting. So, no matter what, I mean, they're going to have to do, you know, anytime you pave, create impervious area, especially over 5,000 feet, within WES, or if the Clackamas County is the stormwater authority, it requires some kind of, storm drainage plan, whether it's, you know, mm-hmm. curbed and catch basin or, some kind of conveyance or something. So that just kind of goes along with I and, II. So.
Yeah. It does. All right. These are dependent. What I'm considering here is, providing an opportunity for the submission of, written arguments concerning the condition of approval and, an opportunity. So what I am proposing to do here is to keep the record open for an additional 7 days for the applicant to provide an argument why this, condition of approval should be, these two conditions actually, should be, deleted or amended, and a similar opportunity for the county to, respond for 7 days, and a final, written, argument, no additional evidence, but a final written argument by the applicant in an additional 7 days. I don't think we're going to resolve this during this open record hearing right now, so I'm proposing to keep the record open for an additional 21 days to provide for that argument. I'll receive the additional written materials, and I'll make a determination based on those written submissions.
I would like to ask, you know, Chris, if you and you and your team could provide a cost estimate also for the improvements. I think that would definitely help, and if it, you know, for any proportionality, and if it's not proportional, then it's just not proportional. You know, for what I have, you know, on file and submittal, I don't have a cost estimate to make that determination or to your any kind of evaluation. So within your written, you know, submittal, I'd ask you to provide a cost. That way we can definitely take that into consideration.
My preference would be that you take this offline and work out, something that's acceptable here and mm-hmm. submit a proposal to me. That would be my preference, but I can do this either way.
Yeah. We did talk about this before, in, you know, but early mid May, I reached out to the applicant and talked about it. You know, we were in kind of disagreement, with it at the time. And like I said, I didn't have a cost estimate. So, kind of knew that this was going to be coming this way. You know, and it was just no big surprise.
That was something we disagreed to disagree is where we left it. And we're certainly willing to offline here, like the hearings officer says, talk further. It's not as, that's fine.
Yep. And submit to, Mr. Gish, information concerning your what you've received as cost estimates on the additional improvements so that the county can make a informed decision on that.
We'll talk about it. It seems backwards to me, but we'll talk with Johnny.
That's what I'm suggesting. I was going to, yeah. So, Mr. Glasgow, what did you have a comment on this?
Yeah, well, yes, I've got. So Chris, you're going to include a cost estimate, and you're also going to somehow craft an email just to, so planning and development engineering have something to respond to. You're going to explain why you think this condition needs to be crafted or worded differently. And just give us something specific to respond to, and then between the two departments we will work it out, and between the three of us we'll get it straight.
Sounds good. We'll put together what we believe is correct for the condition, how the applicant would like it worded, and we can talk about or provide you something as to why it doesn't seem correct or require anything further.
Thanks.
All right.
Can I just say, on a totally unrelated note on this site plan while it's still up, you're showing a trash enclosure, and I think I mentioned in the staff report somewhere that there wasn't any detail. Do you have any problem with that condition, that you provide detail to sustainability staff regarding construction of that trash enclosure, location, and use? Oh,
that's fine. We've coordinated with the garbage provider, and they like it. We don't ever like having trash hanging out there, so it's already been dealt with, and that's all fine. Thank you.
All right, then. Back to the applicant. Let's proceed. Do you have additional information for me to consider outside of this, which we're not going to resolve today?
No, sir.
All right. How about the county? Does the county have anything further here? All right. As stated, then, I will keep the record open an additional 7 days for the applicant to submit evidence here concerning that, why that condition of approval should be amended or deleted or modified in some way. The same opportunity of 7 days for the county to respond to that. The applicant can have the final say on it, an argument, but not including additional evidence. So I'm looking for to wrap this up in that 14 days, then an argument of additional 7 days. Okay, is that clear? Okay. So where does that get us to? 21 days, June 24th. Does that sound right? Okay. So that does not conclude the record of this hearing. The record will stay open until then. I'll look to receive emails from Mr. Glassdale's office with these materials. So submit each of these things to him. He provided his contact information. I'll look to a response from the county and a final statement from applicant. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, Mr. Glasgow?
Well, yeah. We did have an attendee other than Michelle
earlier,
and that person is no longer showing up on my screen. Darcy, do you have that person? It was a phone in.
Yeah, it was like a Galaxy phone or something, and they dropped off after just a minute or two.
Yeah, I don't see them anymore. So I think we don't have any other testimony other than
it was spam.
I'm sure that there was a great opportunity to invest in an oil venture somewhere that we've all missed. Okay.
Maybe well, that was my all, prince I've been waiting for.
That's it. It was both.
My Arabian prince.
All right. I'll look for the additional submittals. Thank you all, and I appreciate your participation today. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Darcy. See you, guys.